This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa man attabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen. Yesterday I gave khutbah at the Diyanet Center of America, the Turkish masjid in Maryland. And I finished my khutbah, and we finished the salah, and this brother tapped me on the shoulder. So I turned around, and I had a smile on my face, and I made sure to greet him, and Assalamu alaikum, how are you? He goes, Wa alaikum salam. He goes, I'm so excited to meet you. And I said, in my head, I'm like, I have no idea why. This guy is probably CIA. But anyways, I said, okay, because I don't know, how do you respond to that? It's such an awkward prompt. I'm also excited to meet you right now for the first time ever, right? And he goes, I've been following you on Instagram and on Twitter and on Snapchat, and I just love your reminders. And I'm like, okay, in my head I'm like, if this guy likes cats and coffee, that's basically all I put online. So I'm not sure where he's going with this. And he goes, it's such an honor to finally meet you, Imam Suhaib Webb. And the funny thing is, I was going to make a joke about how like we're in front of everybody together at the same time, so it proves that we're not the same person. But then he left. And so now I can't even prove to you. Like, none of you believe me right now. You're like, this guy just loves talking. Here it goes, another session, right? But with all honesty and all jokes aside, Imam Suhaib's session touched me a lot. Did it affect you guys at all? Give a round of applause if it affected you. I don't think there's anything more important for the Muslim to hear than reminders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. I think that the idea or the notion that a person can be told, especially a young Muslim, that Allah is too forgiving. You don't want to tell them too much because then they might take advantage of it. I think that notion is inherently flawed. And I think that for a sincere heart, for a person who has, you know, a heart that is yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reminder of Allah's forgiveness is like getting that first glass of cold water after a long day of fasting. It's so refreshing and so rejuvenating. So I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Imam Suhaib, give him strength to continue teaching and speaking because his messages resonate with us, alhamdulillah. Yesterday I was at a friend's house here locally in the Maryland area, in the Baltimore area. And he has two kids. And one of his kids is about the age of two. And if anyone here has ever interacted with children that age, you know that there are basically two types of children. There are the ones that are quiet and they listen, they obey, they're respectful, they chill. And then there are the pinballs. And what they do is they run around and basically their goal is to develop such a strong immunity to pain and suffering that nothing will hurt them. No corner of a table will ever impact them again later on in life. Because they ran into it so many times with their forehead. So yesterday, my friend's daughter, we were quite literally sitting there talking about the Oklahoma City and Warriors game the night before. And we were discussing it over some coffee, and his daughter runs into a table. And she falls and starts crying. So without breaking conversation at all, he goes over and picks her up and starts rocking her. 5 seconds later, puts her down. She then sprints off and runs into a doorknob. She falls down and starts crying. He shuffles over quickly like Harrison Barnes to the baseline, picks her up and rocks her back, puts her back down. She runs and trips on the first stair and hits her face on the stairs. After that entire series of unfortunate events, we were walking upstairs, and as we were walking, we turned the corner and we're two big dudes. My shoulder hit his shoulder and his iPhone dropped. And it was as though time slowed down. It was like we were watching Inception. And we both dove for the iPhone 6S in that slow-mo dive to protect it from ever being hit from the floor, because we all know there is nothing more disappointing, nothing that can ruin your day more than a shattered iPhone screen. And we both looked at each other with our response of how we reacted to the delicacy of the phone and the protection of the phone. And we both silently acknowledged that we took more caution over the phone than a human child that had just run into three objects. And we walked away silently disappointed at the state of our spiritual existence. But the reason I'm sharing with you this story is because even though this example may have not exactly happened to you, there are things in life that you value. There are things in life that you hold near and dear to your heart. I remember one morning I was making my coffee at home, and if you look at me on Instagram for whatever strange reason, you shouldn't follow me on any of these things. Just follow Imam Sohaib. You're actually going to learn something there, inshallah. With me, you're just going to learn how to steam milk for the perfect latte. But I was making my coffee in the morning, and my cat, Sherlock, yeah, we named our cat Sherlock after the Benedict Cumberbatch series, okay? He jumped on the counter, and he positioned himself, and the angle for Snapchat was just right to make it look like Sherlock was making a latte. And I said, this is going to be amazing. I'm finally going to make the front page of Reddit. So I start filming it, and as I get it, I nailed it. The lighting was perfect. And at the end, you look over Sherlock's furry shoulder, and you see the milk spinning. And at the very end, he turns around and looks at the camera. It was a perfect snap. My wife opens the door from the garage when she was coming back in, and my finger slid, and it hit the X button. Your reaction is exactly what I wanted to hear. All of us have had that moment where we've had the perfect snap and we lost it forever in the annals of the internet, never to be recovered. No one will know how truly funny we really are, only us and Sherlock. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when something means something to you, when something is important to you as a person, you love it, you cherish it, losing that thing, or harming that thing is one of the worst thoughts you could ever think of. Something you want to avoid more than anything else. My topic today is on hypocrisy. In my research, when I was reading some of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his teachings about hypocrisy, the ayat in the Quran first and foremost about how Allah identifies hypocrisy, one thing I found was that the companions were absolutely obsessed with making sure that they were not on the path of hypocrisy, spiritual hypocrisy. There is a companion by the name of Hudhaifah radiallahu anhu, and Hudhaifah was given a list by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was given information about who were people in Medina that were spiritual hypocrites. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he found out that Hudhaifah had this list, he basically went and kept badgering Hudhaifah and interrogating him, saying, tell me who's on the list. Not because Umar wanted to gossip, but because Umar wanted to make sure that I'm not on that list. Can you imagine who this person is? This is the same person that when he takes a route down the street, shaitan goes the other way. This is the same individual that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to, if there were a prophet after me, even though I'm the final prophet, if there were one after me, it would be Umar. This is the person that when he had an idea, that the Quran would be revealed about that idea and would confirm him numerous times. And he was concerned that potentially, despite all of this positive feedback about his iman, he was concerned that maybe my heart isn't right. Maybe my heart is sick. He never got comfortable. He never became apathetic. He never became happy with mediocre faith. He always wanted to have that spiritual incline that kept him safe with sincerity away from hypocrisy. And just like you and I would keep our thumb away from the top left corner of a newly recorded snap, or when the iPhone is tumbling in midair, I will literally sacrifice my body to make sure that I don't have to go to the Apple store and replace the screen later that day. Just like we react with such passion to make sure that these things don't get harmed, we have to see our iman in that same way. We have to understand that the reason why those Sunday school teachers, may Allah bless them, I never ever want anyone to speak ill about Sunday school. These are individuals who gave large portions of their lives every week just to make sure that there was some sort of Islamic education happening in our communities. And for a lot of us, maybe we had negative experiences in the communities, but for a lot of us, those sacrifices that they made to give us positive experiences meant a lot. Usually you wait until I'm done, then you start clapping. No, I'm joking, right? But I want to appreciate, and if you're a part of a Sunday school apparatus, if you give to the kids, make sure that you understand something. That they might not listen to what you're saying right now. They might not get it. You might tell them something that's better for them, and they might say, yeah, whatever. But later on, those words will have been planted in their heart like soil, and it takes time sometimes for seeds to bloom. And after a while, the words you said to them, reminding them to be good to their Lord and good to their parents and good to their friends, those words will bloom. I still, till today, repeat after every prayer the same adhkar, the same dhikr that my Hafiz Saab taught me at Islamic school, the same school I got expelled from. But the reason why I, don't clap for the expulsion, the reason why everyone's like, Abdurrahman, if you got expelled, I'm going to get expelled. The parents are like, no. Right? And that's when I knew, right? I still repeat those same adhkar because even though he was teaching us and we were not paying attention, he knew that the heart would eventually listen and take hold. Okay? So we have to understand that when we hear these things in Sunday school, like your iman is the most valuable thing that you have, this isn't just a Muslim cliche. This isn't another hashtag trend. This isn't something that's just meant to be said to make us feel like iman is important. No, iman truly is the most valuable thing that you hold. And if you want to find out why, ask someone like Imam Suhaib, who the night before he affirmed or confirmed his iman was in a state that he, I don't want to, you know, make jokes about it, but he was in a state that he probably is not too proud of. And all of us, for any of us who have decided to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah brought us close to Him, I should say, then ask us about times where we didn't have value for iman. And ask someone, do you think iman is most important when they've come from that state? And they'll tell you yes. Because iman lets you make right decisions in times when they're difficult. Iman gives you direction to make the right choice when you have all the wrong choices in front of you. That's what iman does. It gives you clear vision. It clarifies the world for you. So the companions were so worried about being hypocrites because I can't lose this lens of faith. It's going to, if I don't have it, I'm not going to be able to live life properly. Now the Quran defines what hypocrisy is, because a lot of us have an understanding of hypocrisy that is a little bit different. Right? We think maybe hypocrisy means to say something you don't do, or to do something that you say not to do, right? That's the literal definition of hypocrisy. But spiritual hypocrisy, nifaq in Arabic, what it means according to the Quranic definition, Allah actually defines it in the beginning of the Quran, just three pages in. Allah starts talking about what it means to have hypocrisy. And essentially what it means is when a person puts so much value and so much weight on their outer appearance, how people perceive them, what people say about them and think about them, that they completely, whether it's active or passive, they neglect willingly the state of their inside, their soul. So I'm so concerned with getting favorites and likes and retweets about my statement or my deep reminder how woke I am, that I'm not actually concerned about being good and actually fulfilling what I just shared. I'm going to tweet about how important Fajr is as I'm about to fall asleep and miss Fajr. That's hypocrisy. Because I'm so concerned that people see how religious I am, that they don't actually have the ability to confirm that I may not actually be that way, but I'm so concerned and I want to make sure that people value my religiosity or a certain way that I am. And the interesting thing is that this disease, all of us right now in this room, Imam Ghazali talks about this actually in one of his books. He says that whenever we find out about a negative characteristic, what does the human being naturally do? What does the nafs naturally do? The nafs naturally starts making a list of people that we think have these problems. So right now as I'm describing hypocrites, everyone's like, man, I got a lot of hypocrite friends. And you're starting to make lists, right? You're like tweeting them. You're like, come to this lecture right now, quick, you need to hear this. But Imam Ghazali says that while we're doing this, we neglect reflecting on our own selves. While we're trying to call other people out, we fail to pause and say, this might be me, this might be my issue. So what I want to preface this entire talk, and I'll be done in a few minutes inshallah. What I want to preface this entire session with, is whenever you hear something that could potentially be constructively critical, don't try to apply it to people around you, apply it inwardly. If someone says something like, yeah, you know, Muslims, they have to be more honest. Be like, yeah, there was that one time I got lied to. No. Think to yourself, how many times have I lied? How many times have I broken my trust, my truth with somebody? Make it internal, because that's the only way transformation happens. Is it painful? Yes. Being honest with yourself. Is it bitter? Absolutely. But nothing worth having was ever easy. And spiritually, it's the same. If we sit in the land of comfort, pointing at other people's flaws, saying this person doesn't wear hijab, this person doesn't pray, this guy does this, this girl does that, how is that making you a better person? And we've all been taught this notion of not being friends with people who have flaws. You know, Imam Ghazali says that that's not allowed. He says that that is impermissible in Islam, to break yourself off from somebody because of a sin they have. For two reasons. Number one, he says, how on earth can you be not friends with somebody for their sin when you have sins? The second thing is, he says, who was the best person to ever live on the face of the earth? Everyone say his name. Who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone's like Steph Curry. No, wrong, right? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected from committing spiritual sins? Yes. Was he perfect in his spirituality? Yes. Did he have friends? Yes. Did his friends make mistakes? Absolutely. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was perfect, how could he have had friends? If you're not allowed to have friends unless they're at least as good as you or better than you. It doesn't make sense. Communities have to come together and stop indicting one another with spiritual deficiencies. That's not how this works. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins by defining spiritual hypocrisy in Surah Al-Baqarah. When He says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah defines the initial stage. There's four stages of hypocrisy that we're going to go over today. Four stages of nifaq. Allah identifies the first stage as people who say that we believe. That we believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. And Allah then says about those people, but they don't truly believe. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعَرُونَ Allah says that these people, they're trying to actually deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather they are deceived themselves. And we're going to talk about why. But the first step towards hypocrisy, I want people to write this down, is that you actually don't have any care for your internal. I don't have any care for my internal. I just want people to see me a certain way. These people are proclaiming to the community, yes, I believe in Allah on the last day, but Allah says in their heart, there is a void of that belief. It is not truly there. And this is something that is particularly dangerous with things like social media, with things like the social media age, where really perception is 100%. Portrayal is all we're concerned about. But the reality that's inside, we could care less about. That's second tier. We don't actually focus on those things. This month of Ramadan that is coming up, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to see Ramadan. Say Ameen. This month of Ramadan coming up is going to be your spiritual mirror and my spiritual mirror. The month of Ramadan, as we said yesterday in the khutbah, it reduces you as a person to your lowest state, your most weak state, so you can see who you are. You know, they asked Steve Kerr once from the Chicago Bulls, the 72-win team, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They asked Steve Kerr once because after Michael Jordan retired and after Steve Kerr retired and all these players retired, it came out that they actually hated each other. Like the day before Steve Kerr made the game-winning shot in the finals, Michael Jordan punched him in the face in practice. And they actually had to put makeup on his black eye. And they asked Steve Kerr, who's now the coach of the Warriors, they said, you guys had a bad relationship? It looked like you guys had such a good relationship. You guys were so good. You guys had such great chemistry on the court. What happened? Steve Kerr said, when you're winning, everyone's friends. But it was when you were losing that people's true character was revealed. Ramadan removes all of the glitz and glamour from our nafs and reduces us by starving us both physically and in a desirous way. It starves us to make us realize who we truly are. The way that we react when fasting, that time between Asr and Maghrib, where every other thought is samosa, right? The way that we treat people when we're frustrated in Ramadan is going to act as a spiritual mirror. Go ahead and claim that you're a pious person. Go ahead and claim that you're a believer. But actually what's better is don't say it, but look at yourself. Record yourself and how you talk. At the end of the day, make some muhasaba, muraqaba, and think to yourself, what have I done? How did I feel in my heart? When there was one samosa left in the tray, and there were two of us standing in line, when the brother took the samosa first, did I make badwa against him? Right? Did I become upset when they ran out of mango lassi? These are all things internally that will reveal to you who you truly are in character and will reveal to me as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success. The second step, and this is very scary, the second step of spiritual hypocrisy is that we lose the ability to feel shame and remorse when we make a mistake. Imam Suhaib beautifully talked about when you feel this shame and this remorse and regret in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mistakes that we've made. His teachers, he quoted, that they would shed tears if they missed Fajr. If they missed a prayer, they would actually become emotionally rattled. Allah finishes the next part of the verse by saying, وَمَا يَشْعَرُونَ. And these people have no concept of the sin that they are creating. He actually uses this description in the entire passage numerous times. There's this concept in medicine that Dr. Farhan can probably tell you more about. Don't you love when people who aren't doctors talk about medicine? I'm not a doctor. I'm going to talk about medicine. Okay. There's this concept in medicine called neuropathy. And the reason why I know about it is because my father's a diabetic. What happens is when a person becomes diabetic, they have the chance that their limbs, the nerves on their limbs, which allow them to feel, right? Your nerves allow you to feel. They have the chance that those nerves will die. Those nerves will lose the ability to feel. And so you'll oftentimes see a lot of diabetics, unless they exercise and work out and get blood pumping to their limbs, they'll have to actually start wearing thick socks. It's very interesting. So my dad, for example, he kind of lost some sensation on one of his feet, on the bottom of his feet. And the doctor said, what? Wear thick socks. I was like, what kind of doctor are you? Thick socks, right? Prescribing us at Walmart. What's going on, right? Where's the medicine? He goes, no, you have to wear thick socks. I said, explain why. He said, because your dad can't feel on one of his feet, and if he bumps into something sharp and it gets cut and it bleeds, it might become infected. And if an infection goes without being taken care of, just like spiritual infections, if a bodily infection goes without being taken care of, without being cured, without being noticed, then it might actually require much more severe treatment, like amputation of the entire leg. I said, go on Amazon and order 3,000 thick socks, please. Right? That's called neuropathy. When a person loses the ability to feel, so the body loses the ability to communicate to the rest of the body that something is wrong. Remorse is an important feeling. Regret is an important feeling. That doesn't mean that you don't appreciate yourself. There's this movement now of unconditional acceptance and love and appreciation for oneself. No, you should appreciate yourself, but at the same time, push yourself forward to become the best version of yourself. Don't settle for mediocre me. Don't settle for being just who you are. Keep pushing yourself to become better in spirit, in emotion, in intelligence, in health, in every part of your life. And so when a person has spiritual neuropathy, they have now lost that remorse and regret that you and I feel when we commit a sin. And all of us now can think for a moment about sins that we have been involved in for days, months, maybe years, maybe our entire life. And we realize now that when we first did that sin, there was a pinch of the heart. There was something that hurt us. But the more and more that we did that sin, the more and more that we did it without regretting it, without trying to fight it, the more and more comfortable we became. Do you guys ever see little children's faces when a swear word is said in front of them? One time I was driving my van. I don't have a van. I was driving a van. I rented a van. Everyone's judging me right now. I don't have a van, okay? I was driving a van with a lot of youth, because I do a lot of youth work, alhamdulillah, with some younger teens. We were taking them, myself and one of my friends, Hafidh Ubaidullah, and we were taking them out for a field day. And we had Pandora on. And for some reason, one of the songs came on and it used a cuss word, a really bad word. And all the kids in the van were like, oh my God, Brother Murphy just endorsed cursing, right? No, but they heard it and they flipped out. Whereas with college kids, they hear that word. They're like, oh yeah, actually, that word's actually quite powerful. You know, we use it a lot when we get upset. And they'll go into the etymology of the curse word. And they'll explain they'll do tafsir of it. Like, they'll explain how often they use it, in what ways. Like, Noman Ali Khan equivalent for curse words, right? Like, truly the meaning has profound impact on my message. I'm angry, right? Like, when we first heard it when we were younger, it impacted us. It hurt us. But as we became older and more jaded by society and media, now we hear these things all the time. It's normal, to the point where we use them sometimes. It's the first thing that comes out of our lips when we're upset, when we never ever grew up hearing that from people that were close to us. This is spiritual neuropathy. So when Allah identifies that the hypocrites lose the ability to feel regret, that itself is a punishment in and of itself. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time was asked by one of the companions, the hadith says that, إِنَّ رَجُلَ سَأَلَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا الْإِيمَانِ. He said, what is faith? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha sarratka hasanatuka wa sa'atka sayu'atuka fa anta mu'min." He said, if you feel happy with your good deeds and you feel disappointed and sad at your bad deeds, then you're a believer. Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so positive, the optimist. He didn't say you're a believer if you do good and stay away from bad. He said that you're a believer if you're happy with your good, and when you occasionally make a mistake, you feel disappointed and you want to change yourself. That's a sign of belief. Then the person asked, "Ma al-ithm? What is sin? What is sin?" And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described sin. He didn't say it's making a mistake. He described the emotion that a person feels when they commit a sin. He said, "Idha haqa fi sadrika shay'un fada'uhu." He said that when a person feels tightness in their chest, when a person does something and they feel tightness in their chest with it, he says, repel that thing. If you're moving towards doing a deed or saying something or going somewhere and you feel this anxiety in your chest, not good anxiety. You know, when I was stepping up here, I felt nervous. When I give speeches, I feel nervous. That's good anxiety though. But if I'm going somewhere and I'm checking to make sure that my tweet's geolocation is turned off, because my parents are hip to geolocations, right? Or I'm trying to make sure that my friend's parents, you know, are asleep before we sneak out, then that anxiety that you feel, if you feel that, then repel that action. If you feel like you're doing something wrong, losing that tightness the Prophet ﷺ described itself is losing that awareness. Do not get hit by spiritual neuropathy. We ask Allah to protect us. Allah then continues, "Fi qulubihim maradan fazadahum Allahu marada wa lahum adhabun alimun bima kanu yakdhibun." That this sickness of hypocrisy, what ends up happening is it replicates. It increases itself. Why? Because the hypocrite, the sick person, wants nothing more than what their heart desires. A person who is suffering from the disease of alcoholism, at some point their body rejects anything that's healthy and they just want more alcohol. So when a person has spiritual diseases, like backbiting or envy or jealousy, or judgmentalism, anything, any of these diseases of the heart, rajab, vanity, then what happens is if the heart becomes sick enough, it actually starts to perpetuate this disease and seek it more. You get one like on Instagram, now you gotta send up another picture, right? I've actually met people who get very disturbed when I don't like their pictures on Instagram. Like they meet me in person, they say, "Can you like my picture on Instagram?" And I say, "Sure." And they say, "No, right now." And they take my phone. "No, seriously, I've done this." And I say to them, "Do you not believe me?" They said, "Yeah, last time you said you wouldn't, you never did." So they keep a tally on this, and I apologize for maybe not telling the truth when I said I was going to, right? But the point is that these diseases can perpetuate themselves. Don't become a slave to vanity. Don't become a slave to the favorite or the like. Only worry about being liked or favorited by Allah and His Messenger. Other people will favorite and like you for different reasons, and those reasons might not be good for you. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor and pleasure. That's the only one that you should go for, because then you'll be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues and He describes, and I'm running out of time so I want to conclude, but He describes these people, He continues and says that the next step the hypocrites face after saying what they don't do and lying about what they actually believe and then losing that feeling of remorse, the hypocrites then start to mock the believers. And this is actually one of the things I've seen with a lot of young Muslims who are dabbling or walking that fine line of atheism or agnosticism. Some of people, it's from a sincere concern. Some people, it's sincerely searching for Allah, and they're sincerely agnostic. And to those people, I actually applaud them. When someone comes to me and says, "I've been reading Allah, and I really want to know if Allah exists and if I should believe in Him," if I get the feeling that they're sincere about it, I actually tell them, "I'm proud of you, because Allah commands us to think, and you're thinking." But the people who use atheism and agnosticism as a mask screen, a smoke screen, for their desires, that they want to do something, and they end up saying, "You know what, I feel guilty when I do this sin, so I'm just going to shed all of my religion for my entire life." Those people have to check themselves. Are you just giving up your relationship with Allah because of one person, a girl or a guy? Because of one habit, drinking or smoking? It's not worth it. Don't do that. You can be a person who has sins but still has a relationship with Allah. That's part of the equation. So these people begin to mock the believers and say this religion makes absolutely no sense. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes by saying that the hypocrites will eventually stumble to a point. Hypocrisy will grow so large and so uncontainable that the vessel that holds iman, the heart, will be removed. The iman will be removed. And this person will have to make a decision. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوا ضَلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. He said that these people have made a purchase. They have exchanged something. When I bought this iPhone, I went to the Apple store and I gave them money and I told them I want an iPhone. They said, okay, it's going to cost this much. I paid them and they gave me the phone. That's called a purchase. When you purchase something, the item that you are receiving is more important than the amount that you are giving to you. If I'm purchasing food, the $10 I'm paying for a meal is not as important to me as being fed. So what's happening here with this exchange is dalala, misguidance, is more important to these people than guidance. Because guidance might be seen as something that is a burden to carry. But dalala is something that liberates them and gives them the ability to do what they want. And they trade it. The powerful thing about this verse is that the verb of transacting is used when you transact something. You can't buy it and then take what you use to buy it. When I bought this iPhone, I didn't take the box and say, okay, give me my money back. Because once I've given it, it's gone. And once they've given it to me, it's mine. You can't keep both. So Allah is saying if a person truly wants hidayah, a relationship with Him, they can't try to balance both dalala and hidayah. It doesn't work like that. You have to choose. That doesn't mean you can't make mistakes along the way. That doesn't mean you can't struggle along the way. But what it means is you have to choose in your heart of hearts who you truly want to be. Do you want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and please Him, or do you want to be distant from Him and not have a relationship with the Lord of the worlds who gave us everything that we have? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. I'll finish with a narration and a reminder of the cures. I'll just go straight to the cures inshaAllah. So some of the cures that I would recommend, if any of us feel like we have some hypocrisy that we're dealing with, which all of us by the way should. The narration was to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and one of his students came to him and said, "Inni akhafu min an-nifaq," right? Or that I fear that I am munafiq, right? And he said, if you didn't fear that you were a munafiq, then I would fear for you that you were a munafiq. If you didn't have this fear in your heart that maybe I'm not sincere all the time, then I would fear for you. Meaning that a person should always check themselves. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing this? For public perception or for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first cure I'll give is to do more good in private than you do in public. Do more good deeds in private than you do in public. Why? Because this becomes an undeniable proof, an undeniable evidence to you and to Allah that you are doing it for no one else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I know what you guys are thinking. Doing more good in private than in public means I gotta stop doing so much good in public. No. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim actually addressed this. Somebody said, what if I don't want to go pray at the masjid in jama'ah because I'm afraid that it's insincere? He said, that's from shaitan. Don't let shaitan ruin your good deeds like that. So doing more in private than you do in public. The second is doing better quality in private than you do in public. When we're together with people and it's time to pray maghrib, we make wudu. Everyone's like, okay, how long are you going to take? You're like, about 20 minutes. For wudu? When you're by yourself, it's like a slip and slide, right? You just kind of go in there and throw water everywhere, and you're like, maybe it's ghusl, who knows, right? Right? Like, you go downstairs to the kitchen sink and just grab the hose, and you're like, all right, I'm good, let's pray. Right? The game's on, it's a commercial break. That's not how it works. Do better quality in private than you do in public. When people aren't around, extend the prayers. People are there, I have to pray sunnah. My parents are watching, I have to pray sunnah. The entire time you're praying, you're not even reciting, you're just watching your mom behind your head, right? That's not doing better quality. What's better quality is when you're by yourself, you take longer. No one's watching, you take longer. That's time between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last point, and I'll conclude with this inshaAllah, because he's staring holes through me right now, is have good friends. Have good friends. Can I tell you how to have good friends? Anyone curious how to have good friends? Be a good friend. People attract people that are like them. If you are a good friend, if you're someone that is trustworthy, if you're someone that cares for people, if you're someone that is compassionate, that checks on people. Imam Suhaib will text me randomly, hey, I'm on a plane to Malaysia, was just thinking about you, want to see if you're okay. That's a good friend. Everyone's like, he's friends with Imam Suhaib, right? Of course I am. People think we're the same person, right? We're stunt doubles. I'm his stunt double, mashallah. Be a good friend. Be someone who shows concern. And do not judge people. Do not look at the deficiencies that people have and make judgments about the state of their heart, because God knows how many deficiencies we have that He has hidden from the eyes of other people. And I ask Allah to protect us from judging others. I have never seen any relationship or any community grow when judgmentalism or judging other people, putting value on their soul, was done. In fact, it is the only thing that pushes people away. Do not judge individuals. Make excuses for them, support them, pray for them when they're not around, and be a good friend. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.